Okay, you ready for the best dad joke that you've heard all day? Don't take offense because it's stealing. You can use that one if you want. In fact, I want you to use it. I want you to remember this one. Don't take offense because it's stealing. If in your life you take offense, things will be stolen from you. Because if you're offended, it steals your joy. If you're offended, it steals your peace. If you're offended, it steals your time and your thoughts. You're thinking about this offense and then so many other things that may or may not be true. It steals your relationships. It steals your contentment. If you take offense, it will steal your goodwill. Taking offense will steal your character. Taking offense steals a part of you. How do I know it? Well, because it's happened in my life a lot. It raised its head at the start of this year. You see, Josiah needed to start high school. And when me and Cindy were talking about where Josiah would go to high school, I was thinking Catholic College, maybe Southeast Bendigo. Cindy was thinking Victory, and I said, no way. There is no way Josiah is going to Victory. No way. Why? Because, friends, 20 years earlier, I got offended by a preacher at Victory. I was sitting about where John Bullen was. John, you're not going to get offended at me for naming you. He was up here preaching away about how we all need to turn to God and that there's people here who haven't ever turned to God and were sinners and need to turn to him. And then he pointed out to me and he said, you, are you a Christian? And here's me with my massive goatee and hair out everywhere, being a Christian for ages. But I just thought, how dare you? And I took offense. And since that day, things have been stolen from me. I have not thought kindly to Victory. Even though that was a 2-minute window of their life, I have taken that and extrapolated it. That I'm offended. So they can't do anything good. Right? They just can't do anything good. I know how dumb that sounds. I do. But I didn't want to send my boy to Victory because of that. And so as we were wrestling through that, I got confronted, really. And so where's Josiah going? Victory. Right. And you know what? I admit, I wasn't telling everyone else about it. I just wasn't getting on board. I wasn't praying for Victory. I wasn't saying, oh, isn't it great that they're doing all good things? I was just neutral. I was holding myself back from support. So all of this time, there was something stolen in me. I was withholding myself from the goodwill of other brothers and sisters who were doing their best to bring the kingdom of God, and I wasn't with them. What a shame. If you take offense, it's stealing. Now, if someone who's meant to be, you know, a pastor and a leader of a church can hold on to an offense so trivial for 20 years on something that, get over it. I know that in this church, then there will be offenses that are much bigger that you are hanging on to that go with you everywhere you go. They colour what you think about, whatever. And like I was stolen from because of my thoughts and attitudes and not dealing with it nor forgiving, it kept me, so it would keep you. And in this sermon series, I'm hoping, as challenging as it is, that we might be able to find, it mightn't be hard, but be able to name some of those things that have offended us so that we can be free. So that we can be free. I'm so glad that I can start to think good of Victory, because they're good. Their school's awesome. There's so many godly people there. I'm on board, right? Send your kids to Victory, everyone. No, there's plenty of other good schools too. And I also know in dealing with this topic, if it was so hard for me to let go of this small thing, that the big things that you've got, you'll be even less wanting to let go of them because they hurt. They hurt, and they've been in you for a long time. So I'm not pretending it's easy. I don't want to make light of your deep pain. So as a rule, please, as we talk through this whole series, we know that there's small offences and we know that there's massive ones. And we know that some things are easy to forgive and some we don't know how to do it. So let's go to our first, the gospel reading there. I can have it up there. I just want to acknowledge something first, that this whole series is really taken out of this book by John Bevere, The Bait of Satan. So we're taking a lot of the images from it, though we will preach it very different. This is where many years ago, it was over 10 years ago, I first encountered this, and this brought freedom to us and to the people, many of the people in the church of Marupna. There was one lady in particular that I'll just tell briefly, who was an elder, had been an elder in a Uniting Church, and she's one of the most godly ladies I know. And in our home group, we did this book and watched the videos. And halfway through it, she realized that she had some work to do. She realized that this falling out that her and another Christian lady had, she realized that it was her fault, and she couldn't see it until then. Well, she then had the courage to go, I'm going to make amends. I can't control what their response is, but I can own that it was my fault. And I think in this series, we'll realize and recognize that there's times when we've been deeply offended, but also we need to keep in mind that there's times when it's us, that I've been the one who has caused the offense. But the Bait of Satan, that's the video series we're going to be looking through in our Lent studies, so I encourage you, it's worth the effort. Not easy, but worth the effort. Let's have that Bible reading now. Jesus said to the disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. Hands up here if anyone else has ever caused you to stumble. Oh, come on, there's a few of you who are withholding a hand. Right, I know that every one of you will have been offended or caused to stumble by what someone else has done. Every one of you. And Jesus says, that's bound to happen. Why? Because at our heart we're often selfish. Often we think best of ourselves, but we won't extend that same to other people. We won't acknowledge that I'm the problem. And so we self-reflect a lot and we don't give the same measure of grace to others. And so often we will find ourselves offending each other. I've heard it said many of time, people will say, I don't mean to offend, but, and then they'll go and say the most offensive thing. We tend to offend each other. And even now with social media, more we offend because our filters are gone and we'll just say the most obnoxious things and we offend each other. They're bound to come. Jesus knew it. But I love this next passage. And I'll tell you why, and then I'll come back to the first part. I love this next bit because this gives a reference point to those of us here who know we need to forgive or deal with this problem that we've taken offense with but don't know how to. Because some matters are very easy to forgive. You know, someone bumped me or knocked me over deliberately, I can let that go. But the things like when abuse happen or gross neglect and things that are just so heinous and hostile that justice is required, how do we deal with that? We don't know where to turn. And for those of you who may be in that category, this is where I would start to point you to. And I think Karen will probably pick this up in a few weeks' time about how do we get out of this stuff. But to be able to recognize that Jesus is saying, anyone who causes one of these things for you to fall over or stumble, it'll be better for them if a millstone was put around their neck and chucked into the sea. I.e., God's seen this and he will judge it. You may not feel like it's dealt with now, but a day is coming when you will sit at peace knowing it's okay. And so part of your letting go of an offense may be able to say, I can't bring vengeance or justice to this now, God. I'm glad that you will be. So things are going to come. Let's move to the next passage. Actually, let's jump to the next passage. I know there's something we're skipping over. So Jesus laid it down. So it says, watch out, because if you hurt other people, then you might have a millstone around your neck. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times they come back saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Do you think they said that because it was an easy thing? No way. This is one of the most hardest things that Jesus has taught because we know how hard it is to forgive. And so Jesus earlier saying justice would come, these things are going to come, but if someone comes looking for restoration, that's a good thing. If they mean it, give it. It's a good thing. But the disciples are saying, Lord, increase our faith. This is hard. Oh, it is hard. When I was in high school, I had a friend who was the best athlete in our school. And he was a captain of his local team. And he was the best football player in our school. And I wanted him to play in our school team so that we could go better. And we were already really good and we were making the regionals. And he refused to play. So I started to call him Softo. He didn't want to get injured to wreck his other commitment. So he wouldn't play with us because he was too committed to them. And I started calling him Softo. Every time I saw him, Softo, Softo, Softo. He was a really good friend of mine. I didn't mean to hurt him, but I hurt him. And one day he stopped talking to me. The first time he didn't talk to me, I'm like, oh, fair enough. The next day, I'm like, hang on. The next day, I'm so sorry. I realise that what I've been saying has upset you. Can you forgive me? Nah, damage is done. Day after day. We were eating lunch together every day and he would talk to everyone, not me. If I sat next to him, he'd get up and move. Day after day, then I'd call him. He'd answer the phone, he'd hear me and say, I'm not forgiving you. Far out. I know that forgiveness is hard. It was hard for him. I'd hurt him. I'd hurt him. There's another verse from the Proverbs that says, a brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Well, that was me. No, that was him, I mean. And I was trying to get into the fortress. It wouldn't happen. He had put up the walls. The walls were up. You're not coming in. So I know forgiveness is hard. And I know that there's people here who have had things done to them worse than what I did to my friend. And if it was hard enough for my friend, I can see it's hard. And the disciples knew it was hard. But Jesus gives us plenty of commands. One is, like with the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He keeps on directing us to be people who are willing to forgive, as hard as that is to comprehend. At the end of this whole reading that we had today, when Jesus said, at the end of the day, when you've done all I've told you to do, all you can say is we're servants and we've done what we're told to. He was referring to this about forgiveness. That really, he's telling us to forgive, and that's what he wants us to be getting on doing as his people. Okay, I'm about to get visual. I hope you can cope with this. Go back to the, there's some words on the screen. There we go. So as in that passage when Jesus said that offences will come, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. That word stumble is this word, scandalon. Does that sound like an English word? Which word? Scandal. When a scandal happens, someone's like fallen over, their reputation's gone, etc., etc. This Greek word, scandalon, is like a trap or a sin or offence. Now, in order to explain this properly, I need to go to Star Wars. Return of the Jedi. Here we go.
What, Chewie? Nah, it's just a dead animal, Chewie.
Chewie, what? Go!
All right, that's it. Thank you.
Nice work.
You see what happened there? There was this big bit of meat that was the bait. This is what that Greek word is talking about. If anyone causes you to take the bait, what happens once you take the bait? Boom! The trap is sprung and you're stuck. This is where the bait of Satan comes in to this book. That when we are offended or so deeply hurt by others, we end up being stuck in this trap that will change our life for the worse. And in going through this series, it's not to minimize the pain that we've been in, it's moving into the hope that we might be able to be free of the trap of being caught and offended. Doesn't minimize the pain or hurt, but Jesus wants us to be free, to live new lives, ones that are restored and forgiven and whole. How do we know that we're offended? Well, we're hurt, jealous. These are all sorts of different things that could happen. We have this hostility towards another person. We're angry. We could be envious or bitter. We won't say a good word about a person. We get angry or have outrage if they say something, and we might scoff at them. We resent them. might have hatred. We might talk about them all the time. Or the little things that they're doing, but it's always to bring them down. We might be caught in the trap if we're still hurting and if we can't let it go. Sometimes people have done really, really big things to us. Sometimes we are offended when people have done nothing. People have been offended at me because I haven't come and prayed for them when they're in hospital. I didn't know they were in hospital. Some people have been offended in our church at one point when they got taken off a roster. They thought that someone took them off the roster. They didn't know that our rosters are computer generated. There's a myriad of reasons why people might be offended. Sometimes, yeah, I might walk out that door, and if someone was coming the other way and I'm looking out this way and I burst out and I open the door in their face and keep going, I don't even know I've opened the door in their face. How dare he? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we're offended to different levels. Imagine I was walking down the street and I see someone I've never seen before and I say, hi, and they just ignore me. My offence at that point would be nothing. Oh, well, I don't know them. If someone I'd met two or three times, I was walking down the street, they saw me and I knew they recognised me and I said hi and they didn't say anything back, I'd probably go, If one of you lot, if I was walking down the street and I looked you in the eye and you saw me and I said hello and you ignored me and didn't say anything, right? If I was walking down the street and Bishop Matt was walking the other way and he saw me and I said hi and he ignored me, my offence would be. So there are levels. It's the same action, right? But various things can happen with the same action. And this is why there's so much pain in marriages when things break down, because we expect the highest with the vows we've made. We expect the best. And what we often give each other is the worst. And that's why the offence is so great. Same action, different relationship. And I think this is why we have such a high price to pay for the neglect that the church has done with children. Because what is expected of us is here. And even though the action's the same, it's right that the offence is greater towards us. Offences will come. But they're a trap if we stay in them. Jesus wants us to get out of the trap. I'm almost done. I've just got one more illustration. Has anyone seen a monkey trap before? So imagine this biscuit in here is an offence, right? Yeah, I can get the offence, but I can never get my hand out. So imagine me playing basketball with the boys, right? The offence will wreck my life. Now, I can hang on to it, but my life will never be the same. Almost done. I know that some of you can't even imagine how you could possibly let go of the offence. I know that. Jesus knows that. I know as well, though, Jesus, one day, healing is coming. When all things are set right in the kingdom of God, that offence will be gone. And what we pray in the Lord's Prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done. Can't we ask God to start that work in us now, that we may be able to enjoy some of that freedom now? That's what this is about. If you need to wrestle with someone about something that's massive in your life, and you need to talk to one of the ministry team or pray over this time, please, please ask. If there's people in your home group that you need to lean on, please do it. I'm not pretending this is easy. I know it's quite the opposite, but it's important. Let's pray. Jesus, increase our faith. Give us the trust in you that we will do our best to heed your call to follow. And if that takes us at this time to look at some of those things that have hurt us deeply, in order to give them over to you, help us. We pray that your kingdom will come in us, even in those dark, hard places. In Jesus' name, amen.